is Tuesday, May 23rd in the MHS South Auditorium. The Choir and Vocal Technique Students' Recitals are Wednesday, May 24th at the MHS South Auditorium. The Strings and Songwriting Recitals are Thursday, May 25th at the MHS South Auditorium. On Friday, May 26th, MCAA will have a SWAT, which stands for Students Who Are There Dance, in the MCAA Quad Area. The dance will begin at 7 p.m. Awards Night is Wednesday, May 31st in the MHS South Auditorium. It will be MCAA's version of the Academy Awards. The Senior Day Trip is Friday, June 2nd. The seniors are going to Sunsplash in Roseville. The Senior Luncheon is Wednesday, June 7th. The senior graduation rehearsal will be at 1 p.m. on the same day. The 8th grade promotion rehearsal is Tuesday, June 6th at 1 p.m. The 8th grade promotion is Thursday, June 8th at 5 p.m. The senior graduation is Thursday, June 8th at 7 p.m. Both ceremonies will be at the MCAA outdoor stage. On Friday, June 9th, MCAA will have its annual Day on the Green. There will be a barbecue games and the viewing of Media Fest at the Alan Scott Youth Community Center. The Marysville High School Board Report for May 23rd. Link Crew is now accepting applications for next year's leaders and will start training in the summer. Leadership has their induction meeting for all new officers on May 25th. May 25th is also the staff meeting. The leadership is putting together a surprise celebration for the retiring staff. Leadership just held elections for next year's leadership class and the positions were announced. Picnic Day was May 12th, and we partnered with members from the Wellness Committee to bring blender bikes to our school for the students. It was very successful, and everyone enjoyed it. The top-notch lunch was last Friday and was very successful. All teachers participated. The senior send-off rally is June 1st in the MHS gym. The senior trip to Great America is June 2nd. The senior breakfast is June 8th, and graduation is June 9th. Grad night is also June 9th, the night after the graduation ceremony. These are the recent and past upcoming events the Associated Student Body at Marysville High School has completed and will complete for the month of May and June.
Thank you, Amy.
This is Amy's last meeting with us, and so as we do with all board representatives, this is a plaque that we have for her to commemorate her time with us. We've appreciated you taking time to be here and to represent the students of Marysville Joint Unified School District. And the plaque reads as follows. Thank you for your outstanding service to the Marysville Joint Unified School District Board of Trustees, serving as the student representative for the second semester of the 2016-17 school year. Your willingness to attend the board meetings to update the Board of Trustees on activities at the various school sites is greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, and much success in all of your future endeavors.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Amy. I want to apologize for being late. We have two members absent, and your vice president is acting as president. No tomatoes. We have presentations, educational services, Lenny Tate. Come on down, Lenny.
Again, he's there for me. Thanks, Raul. The three things I'm going to talk about tonight are the new 5x5 colored tables and the California School Dashboard. That's the accountability system. The focus that the district has on professional development this year, and our district English Language Advisory Committee as well. And I'm hoping maybe I'll talk real slow because they were going to come tonight, and I don't see them yet, so I'll be sad if they don't come. The first thing we're going to talk about, this is the state's website for accountability. It's called, one of the pieces is called the California Model 5x5 Placement Reports and Data. And so I'm going to take you to that website. So I clicked on a website. It was in dark purple. You couldn't see it. And it didn't pop up. I'm not sure why. Look, let's see if Raul can help me. Everybody come over here and look on my tiny little screen.
You don't want me to try to help you. You know that. I'm not the tech guy.
Yeah. If we can't get there, it's okay. Did you catch all that? It's like when Mr. Gray was up here and he said, just hum for you. Okay, so this is what the state website looks like, the California 5x5 placement reports and data. The first thing that you would want to do if you're going to look up a school or a school district, and you can look up any district in California, any school in California, you just put in the name. So I'm going to type in Marysville, unless you want to look at Yuba City or Wheatland, maybe. So once you get to this page, it displays the five indicators that the state has set aside for accountability. There are state indicators and there are local indicators. The state indicators include suspension, English learner progress indicator. My tongue is so tight tonight. Excuse me. Graduation indicator, English language arts, and mathematics. Those are the ones that we'll see right now. There are two others, chronic absenteeism and college and career readiness the state doesn't have ready for us to view yet. The main reason for that is that in regards to all the indicators, it's a comparison tool. So you're comparing the most recent data we have compared to the prior year's data. And that's how they're assessing our growth. So the one I'm going to pull up, keyboard. There we go. So when I'm in Marysville, I have several selections. I can pull the full district, I can pull charter school, or I can pull just Marysville High School, because the system itself is just searching for the word Marysville. The same thing would have happened if I'd put in Yuba City. You would have seen the Yuba City School District, Yuba City High School, anything with that name of Yuba City. And then you just hit submit. That's what I'm hoping anyway. Okay. And then it will take you to this big, beautiful 5x5 placement screen. And you'll notice, I'm going to go ahead and click out of here because it's not really easy to view. But you're seeing some colors. You're seeing a column on the left with headers and a row across the top with headers. And I'm going to go in to explain that to you. You kind of see right here down towards the bottom, that very bottom yellow square, you see Arboga Elementary in there. I'm on the live website now, so if I clicked on Arboga Elementary, it would click straight into Arboga's data, and you would get more information about Arboga. Up on the top right-hand side, you'll see some blue writing. One of those, right above where it says increase significantly, says view detailed data, and that's exactly what that is. You're going to get a much bigger spreadsheet of data that delves deeper into the data. So the new accountability system is based on a growth model, meaning credit is given to every single student making growth regardless of where they started. So even our lowest student, if they're showing some incremental change in their in the positive nature, that's going to show on this 5x5 grid. It's all based on each student's individual growth. The indicator I'm going to talk to you guys about tonight, or you folks tonight, is the English Learner Progress Indicator Model. One of the reasons I was going to talk specifically to this one is because we were going to have our DLAC folks here tonight. Like I had said earlier, there are five indicators that we could look at. We could also look at language arts, math, career and college readiness, and which one did I forget besides the one we're going to look at right now? I'll pull it up in a second. So basically for English learner progress, what they want to look at is they want to see, based on the level the student was in a prior year compared to how they've performed in the most current year, have they advanced? So have they moved from beginning to early intermediate, from early intermediate to intermediate, as well as any of our students who were reclassified English proficient students last year. So an RFEP student wouldn't take the SELF again, but they're giving us credit for any of those students who were reclassified, in addition to all of the students who have moved up a level. So when you looked at the 5x5 grid, there was a column, and that was the most current data. And so there's a little, you'll see the arrow pointing down. If I click here, That's the first column. And in that first column, you'll see that it goes from high to low. And in this case, we want to be on the high side. We would love to have 85% or more of our students showing that they moved from a lower level to a higher level, or they were actually reclassified. So if the more of our kids that do that, the higher we are on this column. The fewer kids that students that do that, the lower we are on this column. The bar that runs across the top is based on previous year's data. So wherever we are this year, so if, for example, we landed hopefully in that very top one that says very high, 85% or greater, that's how we scored this year. Now they're going to compare us to how we did last year. And that's where the rest of the columns come in. The second column, this one's going to go from low to high. So declined significantly by greater than 10%. We would land in that column regardless of how we scored this year. Even if we scored very high, if we decreased by 10% from last year, so say we were 95% last year and we're 85% this year, we are considered in a yellow category. And yellow is right in the middle. So you're going from blue to green to yellow to orange to red. Second column is talking about student is still a decline, so between 1.5% to 10%, still not the direction we want to go. Third column is when we maintain, when we're about 1.5 percentage points from where we were last year. So if we scored 85% or higher in regards to proficiency, and maybe we went down a percentage point or we went up a percentage point, they would consider us in the blue section, which is as high as you can go. You can't get higher than blue. So that's great. Moving up to increase by 1.5% to less than 10% increase. That's how those colors fall out. And then finally, the last column, increase significantly by 10% or greater. If we scored 75% this year, maybe we were 65% last year, that shows that 10% growth. We're in that highest level that you can be in that blue section. I'm going to pull those columns together. And so that's what the overall chart looks like. It looks like a 5x5 grid. This is how our students scored on English learner proficiency. So I'm not going to go too deep tonight. I'm just going to this one's just showing you where our students landed. So right now, when you look at Cedar Lane and Pinock, they're considered in the very low category. They had less than 60% of their students showing proficiency. That means less than 60% of the English learners at that school site moved from one level to a higher level or were reclassified at that school. That's why they're on that bottom row. The reason why they're in that first column is because not only did they score very low, they also went down more than 10% from last year.
Yeah.
So that's why they're sitting in that row. As we move across that column, move across that row to the second column, you'll see again there's three more school sites that are performing with our English learners 60% or lower that declined 1.5 to 10%. It's red. We don't want to be there. We want to make improvement there. Going across the rest of those three columns on the bottom row, you don't see any. I'm going to go ahead and skip up to the highest site that we have on this particular chart. To the highest row that we have on that chart. It doesn't mean that they're the highest performing or that they had the most success in performance, that they had the greatest growth, because this is a growth model. So if you look at that row where it says high 75% to less, the school that is performing the highest is our Bogue Elementary School. But the reason why they're not showing the greatest growth is because they actually declined 1.5 to 10%. If you look all the way over to the right-hand column, the increase significantly, although elementary only performed at the medium level, they had more than 10% growth from last year.
Lenny, do you have a hard copy of this? This seems pretty blurry to me.
I do. You have one? I have one. I'm so sorry. You guys have three pieces of paper from me in front of you. There's one. There's like a little brochure that has a little icon on it. Inside of that is tonight's presentation in black and white, as well as kind of a cardstock cheat sheet for how to go through this page. And I think if you probably go to maybe the fourth page, it's going to be in there. And it's called English. The first one's called English Learner Progress Indicator. The other indicators are there as well. So on this particular one, you're just seeing the school sites. You're not getting a lot of data. You're not learning about subgroups. You're not learning exactly how what percentage point they went up or down by. That option is also available inside the system. I'm hoping that you kind of have an overview of how this grid works. I know you're going to need some more time with it. You're going to want to dig into it yourselves. The next one, because you're such an advanced class that I have before me, I'm going to give you the hardest one we have for indicators, and that's our suspension data. And the reason why it's a little bit difficult to understand or to stay on top of is that it actually goes the opposite direction from all the other indicators. Because when you're talking suspension rates, you don't want to increase in suspension rates. You want to decrease those suspension rates. So again, the lowest at the very bottom would be when you have a very high suspension rate on that bottom row. And the first column is when you've increased significantly, when you've increased your suspension rate significantly. So it's the opposite of all of the other indicators. But you still read it the same way. You're looking for those blues and greens. You're looking for next year, you're going to look at sites, were they in the red? Did they move towards the orange? Did they move towards the yellow, green, and blue? So our goal is to go from that bottom left-hand corner to the top right-hand corner. The third indicator would be English Language Arts, and that's for grades 3 to 8. And again, it shows where our sites land in regards to the growth that they've made. Mathematics for grades 3 to 8. This one's a really big one because this is the indicator that we don't have yet. And when I say really big, I mean really long, lots of words. Nobody wants to read all of that. Basically, this sixth indicator that the state's going to provide for us is college and career readiness, and it's based on basically three criteria. Are high school students prepared to meet college and career goals? Are they nearly prepared to meet them, or are they not prepared at all? And it really ties to, if they're prepared, they're getting their high school diploma and at least one of the other items that are in that first section of bullets. So maybe they have their high school diploma and they completed the CTE pathway. They're considered ready to go on to college or career. The second set down there is approaching, and perhaps they would have their high school diploma. You can't be either one of those if you don't have your high school diploma. And again, they completed their CTE pathway for nearly approaching. Both of those are at least one of those measures. You can see that the bullets for that second section, there's only four of those compared to how many there are up on the top one. The top one includes things like EAP, which is the assessment they take for college readiness. Amy could probably speak to all of those way better than I can. And finally, the last one that we don't want to have any of our kids near is the not prepared level, which basically means they did not graduate, so they cannot be considered nearly meeting or ready to go. Local indicators. So those were all of our state indicators. The one I didn't talk about was chronic absenteeism. They are collecting chronic absenteeism data for this year. And the reason why we don't have anything to look at is because they don't have prior year data. And this is a growth model, so you have to compare one year to another. So we're waiting for next year to get that data to land before us. These local indicators, if you've looked at our LCAP, might look familiar to you if you've read through the LCAP, because it speaks to the indicators that the district itself has to pull data directly from our resources. The items that we look at for that are the items tied to Williams Act, facilities, teachers, textbooks, implementation of our state academic standards. We look at that through a reflection tool that's also inside of the LCAP. It's telling where are we in regards to using our current board-approved curriculum that's also state-approved, other items like that in regards to what's actually happening in the classroom with state standards, parent engagement, and school climate. And we base our school climate in the LCAP on our Healthy Kids survey, and that's something that Ms. Jolie Carrion manages and make sure that we get done. It's biannual? Biannual, meaning every other year type of survey. So that's also one of the matrices that you'll find in our LCAP. When we go to look at the LCAP and we're talking with our stakeholders about all the improvements that we're making and the activities and strategies that we're doing, doing what we want them to do, these are the types of matrices we use to prove that. So we're saying we've moved from this to this, we've improved graduation rate from here to here. Those are the types of things that prove that what we're deciding to do with our LCAP funds are actually working for our kids. The second piece of this, that was all about the 5x5. The second piece of this is called the dashboard. And the dashboard is where you want to go when you want to look for those specific statistics. It said that we increased by 1.5 to 10%. But at each site, how much did they really increase? Did our BOGO go up by 2% or did they go up by 10%? There's a big difference there. So this, when you go to the dashboard, again, you would click in. Go ahead and go to that one. Let's see if it'll go there for us this time. What do you think? Is it worth it, Raul? Got your fingers crossed? Yay, popped right up. So here's the dashboard. And again, you just type in the district's name. And it pops up anything that has Marysville on it. I'll go to the district. It looks a little different. I think it looks a little friendlier. It kind of looks like little candies. There are pieces of the pie here on this chart. So again, it's the same color coding. Blue is the highest, followed by green, orange, yellow. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Blue, green, yellow, orange, red is how that works. And so this is our district. So we are in that yellow section for suspension rates. We're in the red for our English learner progress. Or sorry, in the orange. That's hard to see up there. The English learner progress overall district-wide, we're in the orange. Graduation rate, we're in the green. We like that. If you dug down into graduation rate and you looked at the subgroups, Native American, Asian, white, two or more race English learners, you would see that the one area in graduation rate that did go down was for our Native Americans. When you dig down into that data. So that's the kind of thing you find out when you start to click on those links that are up there. You'll see the top section is state indicators. The bottom section, those are your local indicators, and that's what I spoke to a little bit earlier, that we write into that LCAP. Your Williams report information, implementation of our academic standards, parent engagement, and the local climate survey. Okay, let's see what that does if I try to get out of there. Okay, and this is where I was going to have our District English Language Advisory president and last year's president come up. They've been very involved this year. We've held 3 DLAC meetings. We've had pretty good turnout. Mr. Fleury joined us at the last DLAC meeting when we had the DAC. Folks are pretty happy with the way things are going. Our reps are coming from the school sites. That's the hardest thing to do, is to get parents to be able to come to a meeting in the evening, especially when there may be that language barrier. But we're so lucky to have Miss Adriana over here, who translates in Spanish, and Mong Ying also attends those meetings and translates in Hmong. And we do need that. If they weren't there, the parents would be having to translate for each other. And we're not sure that they'd be getting the same message that we're trying to deliver. Moving on, focus of professional development. We did lots for professional development. The most important thing about our professional development now is through the LCAP, we have a really distinct plan of the direction we're going. All district-level professional development is tied directly to the goals and matrices established inside the LCAP. And then there's just a list of a lot of different things we did. One of the things that was a pretty big deal to us this year, or there were a couple things, instructional networking academies, which are led usually by our teachers. We've had over 80 of those trainings. That's the last time I counted. I was going to try to count today, and I really think we're over 100 instructional networking academies that our teachers have provided just this year. The other piece that's been a really big deal is the Wonders modeled lessons, where we've brought a trainer out, and they've actually provided modeled lessons at each of the school sites during the school day to grade level groups of teachers throughout our district. In regards to evaluation, everything we do is every single piece of professional development that we do is evaluated by the teachers on a 5-point rating scale. These are the items that teachers are asked, and when we've pulled all of those 1,000, I think Adriana's helped us get all that information into the system, 1,000 of evaluations, we've ranged between 4.71 out of 5 and 4.99 out of 5 based on the items that are on that scale. Which is good. Oh, sorry, I jumped right past all those people. And then this is really hard to see, but you've got some really cute black and whites there of a lot of the teachers in our district. I wish I had one there of Mr. Rasmussen, who joined us at our last math meeting. He'll see on this one some of those math folks that have been attending those meetings. And then finally, some of our elementary folks at several different trainings. You can see our sets of computers that we have. You have Kate Kinsella, our English learner, our professional that came and worked with our teachers. And that is my presentation tonight. And thanks for letting me take so long.
Thank you, Lenny. Questions, Board of Ms. Tate?
None? No, not
thank
a one.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. And
thank
ladies.
Ryan and Travis, you're up. Facilities update.
Good evening. Sorry, better late than never on the lights. I apologize, Lenny.
Got those lights just in time.
Yeah, we changed the format a little bit here. So, you know, to stay in vain with the educational services, we added colored matrices for accountability and a dashboard for facilities. Not really. What we're doing this time is we're just adding a summary of updates, and then the typical kind of project by project details are in the appendices, because we have all those listed. So we have all the facility projects that have been completed or close, basically nearing completion. They're at least substantially completed. The facility projects in progress, maintenance projects completed and in progress, energy management, anything related to that. And then usually we give you the tier one projects, but it's incorporated into the facilities master plan. So we have a full update on what we did to that plan this year. So, kind of facility projects, what we've done in the last 3 months, essentially. As you know, in the interim, myself and Travis have been kind of working together to handle these projects and tackle the outstanding items with, you know, an assist also from purchasing has been helpful, fiscal services, and we do have a new clerk in facilities that's helped a lot. So we're just trying to work as a team to get as much of these things accomplished. The HVAC project is substantially complete, but there's a couple items even still remaining on the quad project that we haven't been addressed to our satisfaction. So we haven't done the notice of completion on that yet. That will come before you guys. And then we have a whole punch list on Inc. 2. We haven't got to the final punch list with the list of all the items. But I did assure Mr. Rasmussen that there will be air conditioning in the South Lyndhurst graduation in a couple weeks. So it is working, but there are little items that we have to close out. And we're trying to schedule a meeting to kind of have that punch list and go over some last-minute items, just discrepancies between ourselves, architect and the contractor, nothing out of the normal. In terms of in progress, this is where Travis has been working to schedule the Foothill Shade Canopy, which has relation to also maintenance work, that deferred maintenance work that we're doing, well, bond work, actually. Cordova Legacy, we're getting scheduled, and the LHS security cameras, I got to give credit to Mr. Williams for technology, because he's been doing a lot of work on that. So that's we're trying to get the final documents in place, but those will all be scheduled this summer. The restroom building, we're working to get scheduled this summer. We kind of made some last determinations on, finishes, but to match what's existing to the best of our ability. And we did get DSA approval, so we have a DSA-approved set of plans. We're trying to line up a contractor, because we're going to do some work hopefully in July, get the modular delivered in August. That's what we're trying to finalize. It's all contingent on when that modular building can be delivered, and then we'll finish it up in the fall. The Corda Legacy, it's not a huge project, but it still has to be done and basically marked off the DSA list. So we're trying to schedule that June to July, get it done before school starts. Inc. 3 is in design, and so we anticipate that to go to DSA sometime in June or July and start kind of mirror the Inc. 2 schedule. But remember, Inc. 3 is only building E at this point in terms of our available funding. So we're going to try to get that going in October or so. MCAA, we're looking at the kind of our options on the preliminary design, new and existing. There's a lot of stumbling blocks, and without really identifiable funding, I'll kind of get that into that more in the master plan, you know, we got to just see what our options. So we plan to have some kind of report on our available options in the summer, and we'll make that we'll give that to the board. Also, the stadium or the baseball scoreboard and bleachers, there's a project authorization on the board agenda, so we're trying to work on that, kind of work through the requirements through DSA, because anyways, there's small issues with those, but we'll work on that. The ADA and art flash I put, we're reassessing. We're trying to get the ADA study scheduled. We're not reassessing whether we're going to do them. It's just the timing and scheduling with all the other items going on. ADA, we're working to get that scheduled, and the arc flash we'll see, because obviously we have to have power shutdown and stuff, so we'll get it done. It's just a matter of when we do that one. some updates on the maintenance project. There's a lot of pictures and a lot of updates in terms of our savings, or what we say is cost avoidance, because when we get a project done in-house, we're able to transfer that funds to get more projects done, but we still spend our budget. But you could see them. There's pictures in there for the quad benches. There's the tennis courts look really good at Lyndhurst. We have the HVAC replacement at Marysville. There was some done in-house. The sports med room was completely transformed, so do check those pictures out. I think there's a couple slides in that. Some work we've worked with the city of Marysville and the Yuba County Office of Education, and Ms. Carrion's basically led that train, no pun intended, in terms of trying to get work done for the train tunnel. So our own maintenance has contributed to that, amongst many others. The McKinney HVAC replacement, we did some replacement there. There was a major sinkhole at Yuba Gardens that was repaired. Some other barred units, which are the ones that are typically on those portables, those kind of side-mounted units. And the handrails, you can see those. That's not an exhaustive list. That's just an example of some of the projects that have been completed since February, and it has those numbers in there. There's a long list, too, of summer projects. I'd say that's very ambitious. We'll try to get as many done as possible, and as staffing and time allows, with the other items we're trying to tackle with facilities. But, you know, anything that doesn't get done, it's going to carry on into the 17-18 year. So it's really kind of setting up our major projects for 17-18. That's not to say things won't arise or that list is completely exhausted. But as of now, that's kind of our major list, and what we're trying to start, get as many completed in the summer, move into the next year. So kind of on the energy management program update, we did do some of the installations and some of the lighting fixtures at Marysville and Community Day. Those are completed now, and that was in our initial application for the Prop 39 Clean Energy Jobs Act. We did do some light tubes, which is actually done by custodial staff. We bought the tubes, and they were where they didn't need a new ballast. They were replaced. We have some light tubes, too, that we're going to work on for Linda. I know there were some that have done. And then in progress, too, and this is where Travis and Maintenance helping out, too. We're trying to get a contractor in here this summer to install 15 5-ton units at HVC, and that was one of the line items listed on our initial application for Prop 39 outside of MCA, which has its own application. And I put need to submit the plan. Well, the plan was submitted, and actually we've got approval by August 1st, so now I just got notice of approval yesterday. So we have a list of over $1 million worth of projects that are going to be done at McKinney, Olivehurst, and Yuba Gardens. And so we're getting together to kind of determine how we're going to tackle those, because it is such a big project. It depends if there's which parts will have to go out to bid, which we can handle kind of in-house, or smaller little contractor projects. So we're going through that, and we're going to address those. But the key was to get the plan approved by August, submitted and approved, and to get it submitted by August 1st, we have time to carry out these projects. And then the master plan. So this was a couple months of work here, at least. And through the year, you know, project updates have been provided by M&O, you know, facilities, and technology. And so I appreciate all their help in doing that, and that's where you see those Tier 1 updates. But we always said it was a working document, so this is our first iteration, and it's our first attempt, and we'll continue to try to get better and add more information. But, you know, as you kind of go through it page by page, you know, we look at the last 10 years. We have fairly steady enrollment in the last 10 years. That's no different from last year. We added another year onto it, but it still has an annual growth rate of, you know, less than 0.5%. And you can see the dollars in projects by schools on page 6 and 7. That's changed a little bit from last year as you move into doing more projects in this current fiscal year and taking off the 2005-06 year. School sites, we updated that chart so you can see all the updated enrollment for 16-17. The asset management, we didn't really tackle any of that this year, and we've talked about it. It's really something, if we want, we get into a point where we need outside capital facilities funding. So we'll probably have a discussion on that when we get more into board study in terms of our financial needs. But so that's there, and we could do it if we see a necessity to move those assets for other items. Typically, depending on what you do, if you lease, obviously you can get return revenue, but probably the more viable option, just based on the property types, is more selling, and there's a whole 7-Eleven process. So if we really need those finances, then we have to engage in kind of those costs to make that happen. Demographics, we have the full report in the appendices, but the enrollment increase, you can see we have a projected increase of nearly, well, over 700, 2020 to 2023, and it's spread out, mostly in the south, but it's spread out, doesn't necessarily impact sites, But you can see there will be capacity possibly at Lyndhurst and Yuba Gardens. So we'll have to look in terms of, that's what we talk about, bringing in other buildings or possibly buildings, but we would need additional funding to do that. So these are things we need to start thinking about. Also MCAA, but MCAA is pretty much near capacity because they only have the space for the one more portable. So they're kind of capped. So that won't, what will happen is that even though they project those students won't obviously all go there.
Brian, I did have one question. On the properties from the asset management,
yeah.
Do those properties cost us anything right now?
For the most part, no. We have to pay a little bit of fee for surplus unused properties to the state, but we've removed insurance on a lot of them in terms because there's no activity on the sites. We've had some inquiries, as the board has known, we've had some inquiries. I think we've agendized them before in closed session regarding the old Angus Dean building up in Oregon House, but it's financial feasibility. You got to look at what your existing structure is, what the rental stuff is. If we ever do want to pursue that too, like I said, the 7-Eleven committee, you're going to have to bring in a legal team, 4 to 5 meetings, you know, that's going to cost thousands of dollars to do it. And we could do it, but we have to identify those needs or the lack of funding in terms of facilities, because if you sell something, it pretty much has to go for capital improvements. That's just state law. Facilities and needs assessment, we didn't change this, and the reason we didn't change that, that's kind of the, when we brought all the, we talked about the priorities, we looked at every school, identified their top 2, the high schools identified their top 3, and we listed all those 2. We went out to every site, and we continue to do it kind of on a day-to-day basis. You know, we need to do it as much as possible on a work order basis, but when we start talking about these larger facility projects, it's something you probably want to reassess every 5 years or so. It's not like they're going to significantly change on those big ticket items every 5 years, and even then in 5 years you may not reassess just based on it may be, it's not a full reassessment, but you will have to look and see where there's been significant change. So they haven't really changed. Obviously in the last year there hasn't been a substantial change in our facilities. Usually they're more smaller items, and that's why we work on the maintenance size and we try to see things that are need repair and whatnot. The project prioritization, so what we did is there's still the same prioritization criteria, and as we got projects during the year, you notice we had those 2 different lists. We had the tier 1 and then we had the non-F&P tier 1, and what happened is there's different circumstances that happened in the year that elevated those to tier 1, and so we added those into tier 1 as we said we were going to for this facilities master plan, and I subdivided them too in terms of completed, in progress, and outstanding. And some of the outstanding ones, there might even be work orders or issues into them. We just haven't gotten to a point where we're even necessarily in full planning or getting proposals yet, but that doesn't mean we won't. And we added, for the items we could, we added estimated funding, you know, cost, funding source, responsible partner, and status update. I think just in tier 1 of the outstanding, there was like over $24 million worth of projects. That's not putting everyone in, and that doesn't include tier 2 and tier 3. If you include tier 2 and tier 3, I mean, there are hundreds of millions of dollars of needs in the district. Just the tier ones that we've identified. So we're trying to add information as we go and as it becomes viable. For example, we're doing that process with the MCAA, and we put a kind of a low range, actually, in terms of a new theater would cost. But, you know, those things will move and continue to change and escalate with factors in the market. Construction has actually gone up pretty decently in the last couple of years. Again, you know, we can only address is what funding allows. So that's why a lot of those items are outstanding. Every item on Tier 2 and 3, if it was addressed or moved up to Tier 1, then that was done accordingly in the appendix. So those are all outstanding as well. So we'll do what we can as funding allows. Obviously, there's a lot outstanding. Funding, we added the current funding summary, kind of what we normally put into the quarterly updates. And we also added the deferred maintenance plan that we have. We moved a little bit of money in deferred maintenance plan between years, just $15,000, I think, to do more of the asphalt and repaving. A keynote too is, and I'll give you more information when we present the budget on June 20th, but we were getting one-time money using a lot of one-time discretionary. You can see most of that has been allocated. We left a little bit of buffer for if those, you know, when we came to you in November and kind of said, these are what we're going to budget with those remaining dollars. So we'll see how the projects actually come out. Some might come a little above budget or not, just depending on, as again, those escalating construction costs and other factors. The governor did propose to give one-time money in the 17-18 budget in the May revision, and I'll give you more detail in June, but it's not anticipated to get to us until May 2019. So as far as we know, we cannot budget, we do not have additional one-time discretionary money. So that money is basically going to be depleted through into next year. Obviously, we'll carry over some of those projects and money into next year. So we'll see. A lot can change between now and May 2019. Also, that money wasn't guaranteed to come all in one lump sum. It may be. So I don't really know what to do with an IOU yet, so we can't commit that to funding facilities projects or any other one-time purposes at this time. So we added the recommendations are on 139, 142. That's really the takeaways, kind of where have we gone on these recommendations and where are we going. And then I already mentioned both appendices, the full demographic studies there we pay scores for, and that comes out of developer fees fund 25. So if we do have those growth too, we can use the developer fees in fund 25. So we'll provide an update on that too with our adopted budget, because the estimated actuals will kind of show where we project us going through the end of June 30th. And then again, Tier 3 projects updated a few items that moved to Tier 1, or they've been addressed just consequently by the work orders or whatnot.
Questions?
So that's a summary. So if you want specific projects or anything about the plan, you know, now's the time to ask questions.
Well done, Ryan.
I've got something. I went through the list, and I noticed at Kovalod, your predecessor cut all the trees around Kovalod. There's no shade structure for those kids for the kindergarten out there. And I talked to asked Doug today, did I miss it? Is there something in there that wasn't there? And he said they had been raising money for it, and I guess they have about $25,000 from the PTA, because that is a need at Kovalod. And I would know because I got a granddaughter that's in kindergarten, and my daughter has to come and bring her over there. It is so hot out there on the blacktop.
I believe it's on Tier 1.
Yeah, I went through it. I couldn't find it, and I called Doug.
Shade structure at Cape Heller. We put the estimated budget at $100,000, so they have $25,000. It could be $110,000. It just depends. Like, Foothill's going to be closer to $110,000 because they have to do access compliance, too, so it depends how much. You have to do 20% of your total budget. Plus, you have all your soft costs. It will depend on the construction market.
But when those trees
but it's
were
on here,
cut down, there was nothing left there.
That's why we had the question, I think, Mr. Rasmussen asked before, too, on Foothill. It was like a Tier 2 or Tier 3 on Foothill, but we have to cut those trees to do it. So that moved up to Tier 1.
Okay.
That one is Tier 1, I think, and there's a shade structure for, I think, Cordova, too, because there's just a lack of shade in general. Yeah.
And I think it's important to remember the trees were removed because they were diseased. We just didn't cut them down. There are new trees there, but they're little, and they're not providing any shade at this point in time.
And that's exactly what happened at Foothill. It's tearing up that asphalt. So we're redoing everything around that septic system. So we're doing a shade structure because those trees have to come out for us to finish the bond project. It's just the circumstance of what we have there.
And looking at the list, I noticed that there was a lot of things that may. I asked this on the 28th, I think. How much money has maintenance saved the district since the last year?
It's not about saving. It's really cost avoidance. So what you do is we have a budget. We're able to sometimes, you know, hire more staff, and we have hired a couple more, and then also do more projects. As you've seen, a lot of those things have been done in-house. One of the things, too, for example, here's the Foothill field alone. What was it, like $170,000, $175,000 contractor to do it, and we did it for like $15,000 or $18,000. So those are the types of things. So cumulatively, we'd have to look project by project, but it's hundreds of thousands of dollars at least.
Yeah, within the last year, possibly, you can estimate the cost of employees above $500,000 easily.
So it's not really savings. What it allows us to do is leverage and do more. That's all it really is. That's why the cost avoidance, I want to be particular about that term.
I know last year Bernie and I went out there one time and we talked to them and just told them we were appreciated. There's been such a paradigm shift in the maintenance. And at that time, some of the maintenance workers said they were led to believe they understood there was going to be a reclassification. Where are we on that?
That's something we probably have to discuss separately from this item.
Discuss that with who?
Well, that's a personnel item. But we've had discussions before. We have made some reclassifications. We have made some additions. I know we've had at least a couple. We reclassified from maintenance 3 to maintenance 4. We've added 2 electricians now. We finally replaced an HVAC technician. We added a plumber. trying to think if that was everything. So we added a couple positions, and we did reclassify a couple. And we did reclassify two maintenance threes to maintenance fours. Those are opportunities we continue to look at, obviously. We talk about leveraging money. So it's we are buying some equipment this year that we delayed, so hopefully we can get more projects done. So we look at it year to year in terms of the budget, and don't really anticipate it increasing next year, and we look and see how much of this can we get done versus the staffing. So we'll continue to look at that. So we've done some. I mean, we'll continue to have discussions as we look into next year because, you know, maybe you buy equipment and you don't need those one-time monies every year. You can make it more ongoing.
Well, I know some of those people are skilled. I think I mentioned it a couple board meetings ago that they needed somebody for refrigeration at McNally's, and they had to send their work to Orville. And he said, some of these people, you don't find them that are that good anymore, that you can trust and that are good employees.
When we analyze, too, we look at the need, and we've also reclassified in terms, I mean, the HVAC techs both went up, too, because you're looking for specialized labor. We had some general listings in terms of maintenance worker 3, maintenance worker 4. That's why I said we continue to look at it as we see need. If it's something that's specialized, where you'll only need it maybe cumulatively a month a year, you don't want to hire somebody specialized. But if it's something where you have work generated for 12 months a year and you need somebody specialized and you need to be more competitive, we've made those adjustments. I mean, it's something you have to look at it on a continual basis, especially as your work comes in. I mean, that's why I think we have 3 electricians now. It's such a big need for this district, especially when we get all the arc flash stuff done. There's going to be work there. And then one of the things they did, too, was just as MCAA, we're trying to have them help them use the South Auditorium, you know, in the interim. And they just the work that's done there to that breaker, and they added a switch and everything. You should have seen it before, and now it's been completed. So having the ability to do those things exist in a lot of places. It's not just one location. So, it evolves based on the work and whatnot. Some of the things we've had, too, with HVAC, obviously, it's more technology-driven nowadays, and for some reason that doesn't matter. They still continue to have issues when it gets hot. But, yeah, we've analyzed it. We've made changes. We'll continue to do so.
Anyone else?
Yes, I would just like to say it's interesting and kind of nice to see how many alumni from the district that we're able to hire in maintenance and even throughout the district. That might be kind of interesting to see how many folks that have graduated from in our district are coming back and still working here. And the other comment, we were talking about Covalod and the street in between the two areas of Covalod there that we block off now and then, I guess daily. I assume that's still a city street, and I don't know if there's been any conversation with the city to try to maybe help maintain that street or give us the street or...
Well, there was discussion in the past. Maybe Mr. Simmons can refresh your memory as well since he's here in the audience. But that is the sidewalks and the street are owned by the city. We did have discussion in the recent history in terms of putting that gate across, and so we had to... Well, we had an MOU, but never formally adopted an MOU. But we had an agreement in terms of the operation of that and allowing us, you know, the ability to access the property to have that gate. In terms of taking over the street, there was discussion prior when we had bond money. And what we were told, at least to my understanding, was that the city would deed it over, but we'd have to make significant improvements in terms of millions of dollars, add parking, because I know parking's an issue there. And obviously with all the other things that were done,
discussions, and it was agreed that when we build the new classroom building at Covalod School that they would allow us to shut down the street. Until such time, it would remain a city street. So we had those discussions. There was an agreement, but we don't have the funding to build the extra classroom building at this point in time.
I was also told besides the classroom, I was told that the street basically had to be closed off and there had to be additional parking, bus loop, and whatnot in addition.
That was all part of the plan when we did the classroom building, so that was part of it. So, yes, and that was at our expense.
So, as with the millions of other dollars of projects, you know, we would love to do that. And I think we can work with the city, but it's a funding issue.
Anyone else? Thank you very much. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Travis.
And you too, yes. Travis.
And your workers for working so hard.
Now it's time for comments from the board members. Mr. Davis? Mr. Scott? Mr. Asherson?
Sure, I just have a couple of items. It seems like we're going kind of long tonight anyway, but a couple of activities that I got to attend. The Native Peoples History Day that we had out in the front lawn here at the district office was just wonderful. There was must have been 40 different events that kids could partake in, tents set all up. Talk about project-based learning. Kids got to make little things to take home, learn about the Native Americans. And I think it's a great way to showcase our district office building even. Ryan, could you turn the lights on, please? Thank you. But I think it's also a great way to showcase our district office, having all the kids around. I understand that it's an inconvenience for a day or two with parking, because parking is always an issue here. But I think if we keep children first, then we should be able to deal with a little bit of parking. Also got to last night go to the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts, their piano recital last night, both the advanced beginning, and it's pretty amazing what these kids do. And I think Marysville Joint Unified is so fortunate to be connected with or be the LEA for the MCAA to be able to provide an area for our kids to go and blossom in those areas. So I did get to visit Kovalod's Friday at the flagpole. Finally, it only took me 3 years to get there, but what a great event! Kids are having fun, and what a wonderful way to start recognizing kids, and a great way to start your Friday. And the last thing I'd just like to commend Scott Lang and his folks with regards to our fleet vehicles that we have. It's so nice to see those go down the road, and they're nice and shiny. And it just is, again, a great reflection of the district by how much effort that they put into that. So thank you.
Mr. Fleury.
One thing I attended with Gay and Randy was the garden at Browns Valley. They had worked on that for 7 years. The community came together. One of the families was involved as an old-time Browns Valley family, and she was my teacher in high school. And I went to a school with her son here, and they were involved in that. And it was a big thing to that family. Also, yesterday was the 41-year anniversary of the bus accident. But in our district, we have really put a mantra on safety. This Sunday, the drivers again will compete in Galt for the state finals. We've run it 4 times. But after that wreck, because there were so many people in our district and involved, we had a principal, a union leader, teacher. Our district has really pushed that safety. Another thing is this last weekend, I went to CSBA in Sacramento, and that is a learning experience when they bring all the delegates across the state, and we meet as a region. First of all, we meet with nine counties, and then we meet with the whole state. We have breakup sessions in the afternoon. In the morning, and I always come back, and I told Gay, and I think I told Ryan, I always come back proud of our district. First thing we talked about in the morning was they are really concerned about charter schools. And that they talked about that in the general session. They're really concerned. They feel some of those are raiding the budget. So I went and I listened. And then I was able to tell them about MCAA. Some of them had heard about MCAA. And one of them in Placer County said, if we had one like that, we wouldn't worry. We do not have good charters, and that was a real concern. When we did the breakout session, in which we meet with people from one end of the state to the other, we had a question to take, six questions, and I went to Ryan. He got me all the data. It was about pension and STRS costs. A lot of districts are even cutting this year because their expenses have gone up so much. Then at lunch, we had a lawyer, legal firm came in. They bought all the lunch for everybody, which was like 300. But they talked about negotiations. And again, we were one of the few districts that have settled. And I was very proud. They said, I don't know how you do it. And I said, well, we have a good negotiator. And we have relationship and trust. They talked about programs that were being cut. They talked at lunchtime with the legal department about the health insurance, how it's cutting into the budget. And they said, we do have hard times coming and we need to prepare. And then in our morning session, some people are looking for a business manager. And they said it helps when you got a good business manager. Some of their reserves were down to less than three. And they were really concerned where it's going to go. And I want you to know I'm happy that we have a good business manager. And that's one of the things I came back, a good HR person and a good superintendent. They again said, you need to hold on to good people. A district is not good. The last thing that they talked about was, they said as a trustee, the most important job you'll have, and you do every May, you evaluate your leadership and your superintendent, and then you find out what is not working. You give them accolades, but you also set the goals for the district. Set a board has to be involved in setting goals for the school district. And then I had to come right back, and I did a retirement that night for Jim Walters, and I don't know how many know him. He started in this district in 1977. His father-in-law was there, who was our former superintendent, is 89 years old, still serving on the Yuba County Board. And Jaime Aristegui was there. He is like 82. And you know what was amazing? They talked about what is trust. And we talked about trust that night because some of those people, and Mr. Walters, had been at four schools. He started the Hershey track meet when he was here at Kynock. And then I ended up taking it over when he became the principal at Yuba Feather, and then he went to two other schools, Gridley and Nelson Avenue and Plumas Lake. But the people that got up were there, it was probably 180 people, talked about what a trusted principal he was. And we had talked about trust at CSBA before, and I have introduced to them, I had posters made, what is trust? Somebody would say they were trust, and you never knew what trust was. You hear that, but what is it? You don't know what it is. And this is, in fact, one of the school districts, they took it last year and she posted it. In fact, she ran for assembly and she said, you know, I thought about that, Jim. It's hard to be a politician and meet that anatomy of trust. How do you do it? The anatomy of trust is you have to know your boundaries. Know your boundaries on what you do and the way you treat people. Just work within the boundaries. You have to be reliable. If you say you're going to do something, you better do it, because you'll lose trust if you don't. You have to be accountable. You have to be accountable for when you make a mistake, own it, and not try to cover it up. You have to be a vaulting, like a bank vault. You keep things internally, and you keep like a bank vault, and you don't spread things around. You work for the best of the employees. And integrity, this is a big thing. And I heard that at Jim Walters' retirement, the integrity he had. A lot of people do not operate from integrity. In fact, one of them asked me, said, well, how would you do the last election? Where would they meet with the anatomy of trust? And I said, neither of them would really follow that because there were so many problems. And non-judgment. We don't know anybody's background, and so you don't judge people. And I try not to judge, and I work at that. And then generosity. Be generous with your times and talent. When you have an employer, anybody that lives by that, and I did take some of those posters down 2 years ago, and some have posted them in their district already. But that's how you trust people. And I have that poster, and I look at it every day before I go to work or where am I going, and in the evening, because it's up to us to make sure that we are modeled that anatomy of trust. And so it was a great, great Saturday. I'm enjoying it being on CSBA, and I hope when I get off, somebody from this board will follow me. We're envied by some of the districts because we have things so good here. And I want to thank our leadership and the people in this district because a lot of them are trusted. Thank you.
Just real quickly, when I first ran for the school board, I really stressed safety. And remarkably, it's from when I was elected, Julia did such a wonderful job. I feel so secure when we go on our campuses and I see all the work we've done and what wasn't there 6 years ago. You're really to be commended for that. I only bring it up because right before I left, I was going to say some other things, but Manchester came on, and you're never safe anywhere. And it's Manchester, England. You'd never think that would happen. And 50% of the children that were hurt were 13 years old. So we always have to be diligent, especially with safety, whether it's a school campus or a rock concert for teenagers. But I think in regards to school safety, our school district should be, and I'm very proud to be part of it, is number one. Thank you. Okay, moving on. Marysville Joint Unified Representative, Operating Engineers, Local Union 3. California School Employees Association, Association of Management, Confidential, Supervisor Union. I keep thinking you're here for something. Mr. Simmons, I know you're here. Public comments. Would you like to say something, sir?
I was going to wait until the consent agenda is finished. My eyes on the consent.
Well, this
is the pleasure of the chairman.
I really enjoy it. If you'd like to speak now, it's time for public comments.
Well, he wants to wait until the item.
Okay. Oh, I understand. Sure.
Mr. Simmons, your item is on the consent agenda, or it's after the consent?
I think it's on the consent agenda last time.
Okay. And you want to comment after the action is taken?
Gotcha.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, then it's now time for superintendent's report. Excuse me.
Well, I'm going to be very brief. There are just two items that I need to know what the board would like to do. First of all, is the annual CSBA conference coming up? I know it seems like a long ways away, but it's not. It will be November 30th through December 2nd in San Diego. And so if you could check your calendars and see if it looks like there'll be time for you to go with us. At that time, I'd love to, the 1st of July when registration begins, that we can secure our hotel room so we're closest to the conference if you want to go. So please check your calendars for November 30th through December 2nd. And then the last thing is, as we all know, Gary Cena is retiring. He is going to be honored at a retirement dinner on June 17th. And if you would like to attend, if you'd let me know, I'd be happy to get tickets for you. So I have Mr. Fleury as a yes. It's a Saturday, June 17th. Jim is a yes. Susan is a no.
17th, maybe.
Mr. Crawford is a maybe. Mr. Rasmussen?
I actually already sent my money, so.
Okay. Then I
did. We got the check.
Mr. Davis, yes. Okay, so then I will check with our two board members who are out tonight and see if they would like to. So thank you very much. That's all I have.
All right. Approval of minutes from the regular board meeting of 5/9/17. Do I have a motion? Is there any questions?
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion of approval from Mr. Rasmussen. Second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Fleury. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes unanimously. Consent agenda. This is requested to approve items under the superintendent, ed services, maintenance, operations, and transportation, discipline, attendance, categorical facilities, and energy management, department personnel services, and business services. Is there any items you would wish to have polled or for discussion? If not, do I have a motion?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
We have a motion of approval by Mr. Rasmussen. Do I have a second?
A second,
Mr. Davis. Please motion by stating aye if you're in favor. Opposed? That passes unanimously. Two, Superintendent, 2017-18 CIF Golden Empire League representatives. Oh, that's all under consent. Boy, we are moving quick now. Wouldn't you like me to read that whole thing to you? It hadn't been that long, has it? Business services. Now you're up. Come on up, Mr. I knew there was a little note there, Bill, and I keep writing Bill on every page. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, thank you, Mr. President. It's an absolute honor to be before you tonight.
Thank you.
And the anatomy of trust, we experienced that with this board and the staff when we constructed this MOU. Randy, the superintendent, Todd, and the staff worked diligently to come to an agreement with the city of Marysville to put pedestrian-activated crosswalks in Marysville Joint Unified 18th Street and Ramirez. That is a traffic zone. It's just an accident looking for some place to happen. I have the pleasure of chairing the Parking and Transportation Committee, and with that, it came to our attention that we did have an issue with 18th Street and Ramirez, and one of the council members asked us to put a stop sign there. Well, I said I oppose that because that would just restrict the problem we already have and increase it. That's a traffic through there from one end all the way down to 17th Street. If you put another four-way stop in there, can you imagine the backlog you'd have in the early mornings when your students are coming to work and coming to school? So we brought that before Mrs. Todd, the superintendent, and her staff to see the feasibility of putting pedestrian-activated crosswalks in. And it was received with resounding excitement. So now it came to who's going to fund it. So this is where the trust came in to factor. And Randy and Lieutenant Sachs, which is on the committee, and my co-chair, Mrs. Stephanie McKenzie, is also on the committee. We sat down with our interim public works director and your staff and worked out an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding. Of course, Marysville Joint Unified School District stepped up the plate. And they stepped up the plate and said, okay, we'll take care of this until 17-18 fiscal year. And that time, Marysville, the note will come due, and we expect Marysville to repay the note. And that was an agreement with the city council. We passed that 5-0. Last council member, and you just passed it under consent. And I think that anatomy of trust is alive and well in this district. And I want to thank Superintendent Todd and her staff for working through this and making it come a reality for the students. As a side note, we also are doing the same with Yuba County Office of Education. The only difference is they're funding the bill, which is okay too. But I think it shows that we are really concerned about the health and welfare of our students, and we're definitely concerned making sure that they come to school and be able to walk across a busy street without being an accident happening. I'd like to regress just for a moment. On this Kovalod school, you know, there's a new sheriff in town. And the new sheriff in town, we have a new committee, and the committee is myself. I don't know what happened in the past, but I'd like to revisit that with Superintendent Todd's permission and let our committee work through that and see if we can resolve that difference about that piece of property. I think that's an awfully strong statement to say you have to build a school before we can do something with a street that's no more than two blocks long. And again, school safety. But we also have to consider the fire people being able to go down through there because those locked gates, even though they have a key, can make the difference in getting to where they need to go. So those are things we have to work through, and I'm willing to sit down, and Ms. McKenzie, Councilwoman McKenzie, is willing to sit down, and Lieutenant Sachs with you, and see if we can work something that's agreeable to all, and move on with that. Is that okay, Ms. Rasmussen?
Yes, I'd like to say thank you, Mr. Simmons. That's a great partnership with the district and the city, so thank you very much.
And that goes back a long ways, too. You know, this partnership is based on trust and relationships we've had for years. And I look around this board and I see a lot of people that I've known for a lot of years, and they know that I'm an upright guy. I don't talk loud. I talk loud, but I don't go back on my word. And I think that's what makes Yuba County, the city of Marysville, and the Board of Trustees for Marysville Joint Unified so important and so functional. Again, thank you for your confidence and thank you for your support. It's just one among many. I have another opportunity I think I'm going to talk to Ms. Todd about on the Charter Academy. I know that you vacated the building that they were using for a stage because of earthquake issues. We might have an opportunity that something that you would be interested in doing in an ancient building we have in Marysville that can be converted to that. But I think it's an exciting time to talk about that. So I'm going to be asking for an appointment with you and also Ryan to sit down and talk about this project in concept, and see if we can work something through to get those kids back on stage again. Again, thank you very much. The stripers are full in a river. And if you're a fisher person, you need to get out there.
Going to look for some smoked striper, hopefully.
Well, no, we'll smoke the salmon.
Okay.
And we'll bring it, and then we'll have a feast.
Last again, year's was great.
Thank you. Thank you very much for indulging me, and let's move on.
Thank you for the kind words. Okay, new business, business services. Item one, the facilities master plan. Any discussion? Board? If not, we'll someone entertain a motion, please.
I'll make a motion to approve 2017-18 facilities master plan.
We have a motion of approval from Mr. Rasmussen of 2017-18. Do I have a second? And we have a second from Ms. Scott. Do I, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes unanimously. Item number two in new business, a public disclosure for the tentative agreement with MUTA. We are all familiar with that. If not, any questions? Right?
I just want to make a comment. No, we were supposed to present these when Mr. Caron brought the tentative agreement with MUTA. And so these are the financial implications. So we worked with the county office to make sure that these get submitted. So the report's in here. It does say Los Angeles County Office of Ed. That's just the template. They've told us since to remove it. But the numbers are just the projected impact of the tentative agreement that was reached, that was approved by the board at the last board meeting. For both the district and MCAA separately.
Okay. Board, any other concerns or questions on? If not, will someone please entertain a motion? If I have approval.
I'll make a motion.
We have a motion, Mr. Fleury, to approve the agreement with MUTA. Public disclosure. Do I have a second?
Okay.
A second from Ms. Scott. Yeah, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes unanimously. Item number three, public disclosure for the tentative agreement with MUTA in regards to the MCAA. I think you're familiar with the this agenda. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I just have one recommendation. The wording on this says out of the district general fund. I'm sorry, that was for the MUTA for the district. On this third one, it should say out of the charter fund, so Fund 9. So if we can have a motion that says, you know, to approve it with the exception that the funding will come from Fund 9.
I don't think you did that on purpose, did you? I can't
no.
even find it.
District.
Oh, there we are. Okay.
It should be MCAA.
It's all right. Any questions? If not, can I entertain a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve with the corrections made by Mr. DiGiulio.
Thank you, Mr. Atherton. We have a motion of approval with the corrections made forth by Mr. Ryan. Do I second, Mr. Fleury? Please signify by stating aye if approved.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Personnel services. 216-17 initial bargaining proposal from CSEA number 326 to the MJUSD. I am holding a holding a public hearing. The purpose of this item is to request board hold a public hearing to introduce the initial proposal from the CSEA 326 and MJUSD for the upcoming 2016-17 school year. If there's no questions, do I have a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
We have a motion by Mr. Rasmussen. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a second by Mr. Davis. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes unanimously. In accordance with Ed Employment Relations Act, EERA, and Section 3547, Division 4, Title 1 of the Government Code, I will be a motion to close the public hearing.
No.
We just did that. I moved to number 2. 216-217, initial bargaining proposal for the MJUSD for the purpose CSEA 326 for the 2016-17 school year. Open a public hearing. Any contributions? If not, do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to close it.
Mr. Fleury, motions to close it. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor, please state by pre.
Aye.
Aye. That passes unanimously. Always miss one of these. 216-217, initial bargaining proposal from CSA number 648 to the MJUSD. Its purpose is to request the board hold a public hearing to introduce the initial proposal from CSEA to the MJUSD. Open public hearing, hold a public hearing. Questions, concerns? If not, do I have a motion to close?
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
We have a motion by Mr. Rasmussen. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second by Mr. Fleury. Please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously. Item number 4, 216-217, initial bargaining proposal from AMJUSD to the CSEA number 648. Same purpose to CSEA 678 for the 2016-17 school year to hold a public hearing. Do I have any questions or concerns? If not, will someone please entertain a motion to close the public hearing?
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Mr. Rasmussen makes a motion to close the public hearing. Do I have a second? And we have a second by Ms. Scott. All in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. That is it as far as it's concerned. we are. Is there any notations in honor? If not, I adjourn tonight's session. All right.